Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I am the aforementioned Jason Thomas. And I'm here to talk some Kansas City Chiefs football. It has been a few weeks since I put out a podcast, but there wasn't a whole lot going on in Chiefs Kingdom until training camp started. And between, you know, working a lot of hours and having some health things on both sides of my family, it's been a long few weeks. I am ready for some football. Now you might have to bear with me a little bit. I am not doing the podcast in the normal place I had been doing it. Been displaced for just a little bit. There might be a little bit of background noise, but hopefully it won't be too bad. So the Chiefs just reported Friday with the quarterbacks and the special teamers, and then a lot of the rookies and guys that had been injured showed up. And this kind of starts to give us a picture of how training camp is going to play out and start to clear some things up going into this season. And I was kind of thinking about it like, playing cards that are flipped upside down. And we're kind of getting some of these cards flipped up already to give us, you know, more of an idea of what the picture of our team is going to look like this season. And one of the cards that got flipped up was DeAndre Baker being able to participate today, Saturday, and, you know, get out there on the field and do some things. That was really nice to see. That means that he's going to be, healthy enough to participate in this training camp from day one, hopefully through the end of camp, if nothing else happens. And I think that might be, a big clue into why the Chiefs weren't more interested in Bashaud Breeland, bringing him back. If DeAndre Baker is healthy, I think the Chiefs really want to give him a look this season. And of course, they brought in Mike Hughes earlier in the offseason too. But, Hughes, I believe, is going to be more of a slot corner, where Baker, even though he's smaller, is an outside guy. So, that starts to clear up the picture a little bit. And, we'll see where it goes from here. One of the other cards that was flipped over was what the Chiefs were going to do at defensive end, if they were going to go into training camp with the guys they had, or if they're going to bring somebody in. And, there were a lot of rumors about Melvin Ingram to the Chiefs. But of course, he signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, for a deal that I believe goes up to $4 to $5 million, which probably means it's a little bit less than that. But he has the same agent as Alex Okafor. And when Ingram signed with Pittsburgh, Okafor the next day signed back with the Chiefs. And I feel like that's a good move. It's a guy that's familiar with the system. It's a guy that has had a decent play. He hasn't necessarily been a good run player for the Chiefs, but he has played the run good in the past, and he was the team's fourth best pass rusher last year by pressure percentage. So, just a guy that can bring back, that doesn't necessarily raise the ceiling of the defensive end group, but definitely does raise the floor somewhat. Now, I do believe this gives us a few more questions, mostly to me, about Josh Kando. I'm not sure that we should expect much from him this season, but I was kind of thinking that he would probably be on the active roster this year. But if, Okafor and the other defensive ends all make it through training camp healthy, I'm kind of wondering if Kando could possibly be one of those kind of redshirt, get an injury the last week of the preseason guys. Now, my hope is that it's not that way, that, he finds a way to make the team, and maybe by, the last half of his first season, he's really starting to get out there and see some snaps and show some pass rush, because we all know that the more pass rush you have, the better off you are in the playoffs. I mean, it bothers everybody. Pressure bothers Mahomes. Pressure bothers Aaron Rodgers, and it bothers Tom Brady, and it bothered Peyton Manning to no end. The more pressure we can get on the quarterbacks, the better. So I like that move, bringing Okafor back, but I'm not exactly sure where that leaves us with Joshua Kando. Okafor has had some injury problems in his 2 years with the Chiefs. He played in 21 of 32 games. So, you know, there's no guarantee that he makes it to the season healthy or makes it through the season healthy. But he is a proven veteran guy. I have already seen some hype for Cornell Powell with some catches that he made today. At training camp, and you know, it's just been a couple days, so it's ridiculous to make, you know, any assumptions about these guys, but I can't blame people for getting hyped either. I'm not quite as hyped for Cornell Powell as I am for Noah Gray, because I just have a sneaking feeling that by the end of the season, you know, this guy could be very important to the Chiefs. You know, I saw some quotes from today where, you know, he is saying he is just so thankful to be a Chief, to be able to learn from Travis Kelce, to be able to learn from Blake Bell and Nick Kizer, and how, you know, everybody is just treating him really well, helping him get integrated into this offense. And, you know, I think it's quite possible that the Chiefs could need him, you know, down the stretch. And I was thinking a bit about, you know, the Chiefs' passing offense and the idea of Travis Kelce being used a lot as the X receiver, which, you know, he already had been used as the X receiver quite a bit, isolated on the backside of plays. And, you know, in an air raid, you know, passing play, that's interesting to me. Because, you know, you like to have crossers on a lot of the air raid plays. And then you like to put speed side by side on air raid plays, if you can. Now, there are a lot of plays, but just the ones that I said a couple years ago, those were a couple kind of foundations that the Chiefs liked in air raid. And, of course, by isolating Kelce on one side against a corner, he's going to have a huge size advantage. On the other side, then, you can have Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill side by side. And that really puts pressure, you know, the two corners that have to guard him and the safety that's over the top is going to have to make a decision between Hardman and Hill and where he's going to go. And then if you can get some guys crossing, you know, you get Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield. You get, you know, your number two tight end. You can cross those guys over the middle, put the linebackers, you know, get them in some conflict and really do some things on offense. And, you know, I was thinking about that play, you know, where the Chiefs, when defenses are in zone, and the Chiefs like to put everybody on one side of the field and basically more or less run slants to the other side of the field and flood the zones that the defense is in. And a lot of times they do this with Tyreek Hill in the closest slot position to the end of the line. You know, he's just got so much speed that puts him basically in the linebacker zones. And of course, linebackers, no matter how good you are, Tyreek Hill, you're going to be in trouble. The way defenses can combat this is basically, even though it's zone, give guys man responsibilities, but you still have to try to cover Tyreek Hill, and that's not easy. And then when you can put Mecole Hardman over the top in a deeper route, you know, that's just putting guys in all sorts of conflict. You know, so that's stuff that I've really enjoyed the last 2 or 3 years with the Chiefs, and I think we're going to be able to continue to enjoy that for a long time. Now, you know, I'm hoping we get to see more Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the passing game this season. You go back and you watch the Ravens game from early last year, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a huge impact in that game as a receiver. And we just didn't get to see that a lot as the season went on. I'm hoping that, you know, the Chiefs are able to work that in. You know, but we did bring in Jerick McKinnon, and, you know, he is a very good pass catcher. So, you know, we'll see kind of, you know, who takes care of that third down role. I think most people who have watched McKinnon and Edwards-Helaire understand that, you know, McKinnon is a much better pass blocker at this moment. So on third down, it's probably going to be hard for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to overtake Jerick McKinnon or Man, I am just spacing on our other running back's name. Darrell Williams. It finally came to me after I took a second to breathe. But, you know, him and McKinnon are very good pass blockers, so it's going to be hard for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get in there and push those guys aside. And then, you know, you've still got Darwin Thompson in there. I know a lot of people have soured on Darwin Thompson. It might sound like I have a little bit just because I thought so much of him coming out. And I still do. I still think his speed is underrated and his power is underrated. But until he fully believes in it, you know, I'm not sure how much the Chiefs are going to be able to get out of him. So, you know, hopefully he'll make this team for my sake, just because I'd really like to see him make some plays and just prove me right. Prove that what I saw in him was real, because up to this point, it kind of feels like a little bit of a gut punch to like somebody that much as a player, and then for it not to pan out, even though I'm sure he's probably a great guy and a hardworking guy. I mentioned in an earlier podcast that I expect the receiving yards for the running backs to go way up this year. It's just something that Andy Reid has been good at in his time in the NFL, is the screen game and being able to get the most out of running backs in the receiving game. And last year, the Chiefs were not able to do that. And I don't think it had a ton to do with the running backs. I mean, they might have not been the most polished receivers because they are young. But, you know, I don't think it falls on them. I think it falls more on the offensive line and how Reid just didn't trust them to be able to get out in open space and make those blocks. We've talked, you know, in the past a little bit about how this Chiefs offensive line is a bigger offensive line, a less athletic offensive line as a whole. But, you know, maybe they aren't going to get out in space as much. But Reid, you know, is so phenomenal with drawing up screens that I think he's going to find ways to use the offensive linemen to their advantage. And, you know, those guys should be able to open up some big holes in the running game. So, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire averaged 4.5 yards a carry last year, which was really great. That's a good number for a rookie, especially behind the offensive line he was running behind for most of the year. If he bumps that up to 5 yards a carry, that is great. And I'm not sure we have another running back on the roster that could do that besides Darwin Thompson. Jerick McKinnon is explosive, but he's more of kind of a big play running back. He hasn't averaged just a lot of yards per carry in his career, or at least not, you know, above expectation. And Darrell Williams, he is a tough runner, but he's not necessarily a big play guy. I do like his running style, and I do think this gap scheme will fit him because he can just get ahead of steam and power through. And I think, you know, if we have to rely on Darrell Williams to be our starting running back at some point in this season, I think you're going to see some 8, 12, possibly even 20-yard runs if he gets the ball enough. But he's not really the big 40, 60, 80-yard touchdown guy like Damian Williams was a couple of years ago for the Chiefs. And there were just a couple more things I wanted to touch on before I end this podcast. The first is the Frank Clark situation. I think everybody out there knows now that he got pulled over twice since the season ended, and both times he had Uzis with him. You know, in California, that is against the law. You know, he's going to face two felony charges there. But there was no, you know, no one was injured. There was no actual crime committed with these guns, anything like that. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure how serious this really is. There is a guy named Matt Derrick, and if you guys listen to enough Chiefs podcasts out there, you probably know who he is. He's on Locked On Chiefs quite a bit, and he's on with Joshua Briscoe on Almost Entirely Sports quite often. He's just the Chiefs beat reporter, and I think he is great at his job. He is not the X's and O's guy, but he is a guy that knows the team. He knows the pulse of the team. And he knows how things work, and he just really believes that Frank Clark is going to play this season, and that you know, any discipline stuff could come after this season. And you know, that makes a lot of sense when you really start to think about it. You know, sometimes the legal system moves slowly. Now it is possible that we lose him at some point in time this season. But I don't think that's something that we should be overly worried about at this time. He showed, showing up to training camp, and the Chiefs are just going with it. Like this is a normal training camp. Reed said he did talk to him about what happened, but he didn't go into detail with what he said. And I'm sure Clark knows that he made a mistake, because he's making a lot of money. And this is basically the last year he's guaranteed to be in Kansas City. The big contract he signed after being traded to Kansas City from the Seahawks basically ends after this year, even though there's you know, more years on it. The guaranteed money is up, and there's really no way he goes in the next season playing on the current contract. So he'll either be restructured or be cut after the season. So he has a lot riding on it. This is basically a make it or break it season for him. And even as good as he's been as a run defender, cleaning up sacks in the playoffs, if he wants to continue to make the big money, he's going to have to show more than what he has the last couple of years with the Chiefs. He's going to have to show better health, and he's going to have to do more out on the field. And I'm personally not 100% sure he is more than that. Not that he is a bad player or anything like that. He's a very good player, but I'm not sure that he's a $100 million man. And the other thing I wanted to touch on was Tyrann Mathieu and kind of how the contract situation has played out. He's tweeted some cryptic things over the past 6 weeks. 1 minute it will be kind of derogatory. You think, man, he's definitely leaving Kansas City. He's upset. And the next minute he seems all happy. You know, he's fixing to sign an extension. And I get it. He's a guy with a lot of passion, a lot of excitement. And, you know, that's how he lives his life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we all have ups and downs, but, you know, we just get to see his because he is somebody that is famous and he likes the tweets. So I wouldn't read too much in all that. I would really be surprised if the Chiefs don't get him re-signed before the end of training camp. But, man, if they don't, I will start to get really worried that this is his final year in Kansas City. And I think he's an important guy. Not that he is the world's best athlete, because I don't think that's true. But I do think he knows how to get the job done. He's a smart guy. He gets the best out of the teammates around him. And, you know, you don't have to be the best athlete as long as you get the job done over and over and over. And I think sometimes saying somebody's not the best athlete in the world gets taken a little bit wrong. Because he's still a phenomenal athlete. He's just not one of the top, you know, 5% guys like he was maybe when he first came into the league. But I'm not sure his athleticism was even, you know, how should I put that? I'm not sure that he was an elite level when he came into the league, even though he put phenomenal plays on paper. On paper, on video. I'm losing my mind, guys. You know, has one of the greatest highlight college tapes of all time. But I think a lot of that had to do with his preparation, his instincts, and just being a smart guy out there on the field paired with some really, really good athleticism. But I think where he is underrated is that he is just a smart guy, and he's a guy that never quits. He's a guy with a lot of fire. And, you know, he's always going to be trying to make a play. And where some guys quit and where some guys relinquish, he's not going to be that guy. So I think that's what he brings to the team. And I would really like to see the Chiefs bring him back. There is just a little bit in the back part of my mind that thinks about Eric Berry and how he signed this big contract at about the same age and then got hurt. And I'm sure, you know, Veach, that has crossed his mind too, but they are different players. I think Tyrann Mathieu eats and breathes football. And I think Eric Berry has a lot of interests. I think he just loves life, and he's not necessarily 1,000% devoted to football, especially with, you know, the cancer and all the injuries he had. And, you know, Matthew is just a dog. I mean, none. He's just a dog. That is all I got for this podcast, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it and have a great week. Bye.